Asara Batevet. You can write even historically what happened here. Right? The siege over Jerusalem.
Siege
over Jerusalem. And what else? We talked about Itzumu Shel Yom, the essence of the day. And according to the Halakha Parsha videos, what's the meaning behind Asara Batevet, ashkafically, philosophically? What did we say? It's the beginning of the end. Okay. Excellent. So, first of all, I have something to admit. Don't tell anyone this. I actually kind of look forward to fast days.
I know.
You're going to think I'm crazy. And I actually do enjoy eating. So it's not that I'm, you know, anti-eating or anything. But a part of me says, like, this is a built-in time to reflect and think, like, where am I going? Where am I at? Built into the system, a different type of day where I just have less of than my normal focuses. Here, you want a piece of paper? Got it? And I personally believe that Chazal built in these four fast days to reflect, to look, to introspect. This is the lashon of the Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Gimel. He writes that really every single night, a person should yefashvesh b'ma'asaycha. You should introspect into your deeds. Just like if you have a business, every day you would say, how am I doing? Am I making money? Am I losing money? You know, what's doing good? What's not doing good? So he says, a person, what's more important, your business or your life?
Business.
Some might say that. But I would say your neshama, your soul, is going to live forever. And so the Mesilas Yesharim writes in chapter 3, you got to every night do this cheshbon nefesh. And I very, very much recommend this. I have a friend who's very strict. He actually writes a journal. And actually, I have another student who just learned an app. It's called The Line a Day. So if you guys want to download the app, it's good, the cheshbon nefesh app. But, so some of us, unfortunately, may not do that every night. But I think at least during these fast days, they're really built in cheshbon nefesh times. Built in times for introspection and reflection about where am I going, where am I headed, and how am I doing. And in fact, that's the lashon of the Rambam in his Hilchas Tainius. I said this last fast time, I'm going to say this next fast day. I always say this. I really want you to remember this by the end of the year. The Rambam writes, the whole reason that we fast on a fast day is to do what? Why do we fast? What's the main rationale? What's the point of a fast day?
Clearing your head
is good.
It's like to separate the spiritual from the physical.
That's true. That helps us get in the right mood. But we're separating to reflect, to introspect, to do tshuva. If you go through the fast day and you didn't eat anything, you're a tzaddik, it's amazing, but you didn't really, you missed the whole point. The point is to reflect and think, how can I get better? How can I become a better Jew? If I didn't do that, the Rambam says, you're missing out. Okay? So we gotta take this half hour and think, how can I become a better person, or else it's kind of a waste of time. Okay? Well, I'm not going to say it's a waste of time. You're still joining with the Jewish people. But you're missing the whole point. You're missing the golden opportunity. Okay? So I look forward to it because this is a great time for introspection. That's point number one. Point number two, which I like to point out, every fast day, is the Gemara in Tainus. Okay? The Gemara in Tainus writes that the fast days were given so that we can give more tzedakah. We're supposed to take the food, the money we would have spent on food, and instead of spending it on food, give it towards a charitable cause. So, God willing, I don't know. Anyone know where the tzedakah box is? I can't find it, but we'll...
So does the yeshiva do that for us? We should tell them.
We should.
Or maybe Gary should do it, because we already paid for all the food.
That's a good question. I don't know, but if you... I don't know, maybe you're going to get a snack or an ice cream or food you would have spent on the day. You can make your own cheshbonos. It's a good time to give a little tzedakah, to feel the pain of people who can't eat and be like, wow, it must really stink to be hungry. Maybe give some people to India, give some people to Ethiopians. I don't know, give some people to Syrians. or not just on terms of money, take this time period and reflect on how I can put more chesed into my life. How can I be kinder? How can I be sweeter? Do my chesed of the day, my random acts of kindness. How can I be a nicer chavrusa, a nicer boyfriend? Just how can I, maybe for some people theoretically, how can I take this fast day and how can it help me actually become a person who does more tzedakah and more chesed? That's another way to practically make this a meaningful day. Okay, so that's point number two, the Gemara in Tainus. You with me so far? Okay, now I want to specifically talk about this fast day, not just fast days in general. So we said that this is the beginning of the end. That's what it represents. Okay, this is when it all started going downhill. So many suggest that in our own lives, we can, when it comes to introspection, we can ask ourselves, is there something in our spiritual lives which isn't necessarily the end, but it's the beginning of the end? It's something that, like, okay, it's not terrible, but like, where look ahead, where is this leading to? Where am I going? Okay? Where am I going to be? That this is the day, specifically on Asara B'Tevas, this is the day to think about those types of things. Okay? I'll give you a very practical example. Let's say some of us are going to secular college next year, right? So, gewalt.
I mean,
that's wonderful. Wherever we go. And some of us, after that, are going back to live in America or in Israel. I don't know.
Or
chutzarts. This is a day to start asking ourselves, where am I honestly, where am I heading? Where am I going to be? In other words, right now I'm in a bubble of Torah and mitzvot, and it's all good in terms of my religiosity, in terms of my neshama. But in a year from now, in 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I'm in secular campus, am I really going to be learning? Like, am I really going to be davening with a minion? Do I really have a relationship with Hashem? Do I really have a relationship with the Jewish people? Like, practically, realistically, where am I headed? Are my children really going to love Torah and mitzvahs? Are they going to be passionate about it? Are they going to have a mom and dad that kind of went through the motions and do it for social reasons, but they're not really into it? I'm just being very practical with you guys. Like, today's the day to think about the end. Where am I heading? Where am I really going? And if where I'm heading is not where I'm meant to be heading, where I really want to be heading, how can I change that? Today's the day of the domino effect. Today's the day where it all starts. And the question I should be asking is, can I stop that negative domino effect? Can I, if my relationship with God is not real right now, I'm faking. My relationship with davening is not, I'm not connected. If I don't really like learning, if I don't really know Hebrew, today's the day to start asking myself, what can I do to change that and to maximize the rest of this year so that I can change my destiny, right? Just on a practical level right now, it's January 15th, I think?
No,
January 8th. January 8th, okay? I was looking through the calendar last night. We have like 2.5 months till Pesach with a few holidays in between, right? We have Tu Bishvat interrupts, we have Purim interrupts, right? We have a lot of Fridays and Shabbases and stuff like that. We don't really have, we have Tuul days, we have very few actual days of learning left in the year, just being realistic. Once Pesach comes, you're already going to be working half the day, learning half the day, there's going to be a holiday almost every week, basically every week in Kaitzman. If you look at it practically, I didn't count it, I calculated maybe 30 days of actual learning of sitting in Seder. Meaning that the year is really short. So every day is crucial. Every today you're going to have 3 hours off. Okay, if you need to take a nap, of course take a nap. You could also use that time to learn or to maximize your time. Every Thursday night, how many Thursday nights are there really going to be till the end of the year? How many Mishmaros do we have left? 8? Guest speakers, this, that. There's not that much time left to the end of the year. And if we want to achieve those goals that we have towards the end of the year of loving learning, of knowing Hebrew, of getting connected to davening, of whatever, of loving Eretz Yisrael, Now is the time, guys. Now is the time. Asar B'Tevet is the time to reflect and say, what are my goals, and how am I going to practically start maximizing every moment? This is crunch time, okay? That's one point I wanted to make, just from my heart to yours, speaking to you guys, okay? In terms of practical commitments, so yeah, you know what? Even before we go to the next stage, maybe everyone take 2 minutes. Take a pen and try to think of one thing in your life which is like you see where it's going and it's not where you want it to be. And you want to change things. You want things to be different. Okay? Where you're at right now. You see where you're at and you don't want it to be, and write that down right now. And not to share with anyone else, just for yourself. And let's think of practical ways that we can actually change our destiny. Always trying to take into account practically, how do I make this happen? Okay? I'm going to make two more points of awakening, just on the topic of Asara B'Tevet. So, first of all, just a point about fasting in general. Probably most of us here don't enjoy fasting that much, right? Except for Jared. Most of us probably don't like fasting. It's probably not something the day you look forward to the most in the year is these fast days. But I do want to point out that it's really, really important, fast days, because it's interacting with eating. And eating is something that comes in and out of our lives, and we're always dealing with eating. And in fact, eating is really, really crucial from the Torah perspective. How do I know that eating is such a really big inion from the Torah's perspective? Where do I...
For the Karbon?
We talk a lot about Karbon. What else? Where else does eating come into play? Or Shabbos meals, for sure. What's the first mitzvah that mankind was ever given? Eat, and then don't eat. Eat, and then don't eat. Meaning, eat these fruits, don't eat those fruits. It turns out that eating is the thing we interact with the most. And eating or not eating is something that's really, really integral towards our spiritual growth. The way we eat, how we eat. Okay? So, a fast day, if you ask me, is an amazing time to practice discipline. To not just eat and eat and eat, but to be aware of this concept called eating, aware of what pumps into our body, and to learn to actually say no. I know I want to eat this, but I'm not going to do it. Because so often we like, no, we shouldn't eat something, but we do it anyway. And I'm talking to myself mainly, right? We live in that culture, but and it's how do we train ourselves to actually have the discipline to say no, not just do what our taiva is. And this isn't just true in eating, it's true in everything in life. So I think that a fast day is an amazing opportunity actually to practice this self-discipline, okay? Besides the fact that you're not just fasting for discipline, you're fasting for the sake of the Jewish people. You're fasting to transcend yourself, to not just care about me, Keith Flax, me, Yonatan Fordinsky. It's about the Jewish people. This is a fast that the Jewish people have taken upon themselves to a day of prayer, a day of connecting, a day of introspection and reflection about our past. Whether you connect to this particular day or not, this is what the Jewish people have taken upon themselves. So I am going to put aside my personal desires for the sake of the klal, for the sake of the greater people. And I think that's the fact that we're fasting that we, and that we take that upon ourselves says a lot about the Jewish people. It's something that, it's something amazing. Even if you don't personally, you know, feel like it or connect to the fast, just the fact I'm doing it for the sake of the Jewish people, I'm putting my needs aside and not just giving into my bodily desires for the sake of some greater good. That's one of the amazing things about a fast day, and it's something that we should be proud of. Just a general point about fasting. Okay, with me so far? Good. Okay. Asara B'Tevis, the Chazal say, actually has a few days beforehand. Not just the 10th of Tevis, but the 8th of Tevis and the 9th of Tevis also had sad things happen. Okay? So, what happened on the 8th of Tevis? So the Gemara says, that was the day that the Torah was translated to Greek. Okay? There's a whole story in the Gemara. Oh! Exactly. There's a whole story in the Gemara about how the rabbis were forced to translate it. And because of this, it was a terrible day and the rabbis were so sad. And that was one of the sad things which we commemorate during this Asara B'Tevis. So the obvious question that Jared asks is, why is that so bad? Is art scroll that terrible that we have to read it, you know, in English?
Also, they adopted the Takara that you can write the Torah in Greek or...
That was after.
Still, though.
That's true.
If it was a bad thing, they wanted to do the Torah in 70 languages.
Now, there is an idea that it was written in Be'er Hitev. It was written in many languages.
Yeah.
And we do have this concept that there is value to a Torah scroll written in Greek. Very good point. I agree with you guys. And yet, we have this Indian that we're somehow also supposed to be thinking and mourning about this idea that it was translated to a different language other than Hebrew. Why is this so terrible that we should... This is mentioned by the Gemara.
Because it's so much of the value in the culture.
Who are the people who made the Takara that you can write the Torah in Hebrew? I mean, Greek.
It's mentioned in the Gemara Megillah. That it's one of the languages you're allowed to translate it in.
The Gemara says, you can write it in this, but it's horrible.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. That's the problem. So what do we do here? What do we do with this question? So how do we make sense of it all?
We fast for 3 days.
You can try that if you want. I don't know. Perhaps. But perhaps there's another lesson that Chazal are trying to teach us. I think Ilan was going on that direction. What were you suggesting, Ilan?
We lose so much when we limit the language because there's so much to be read into and there's so much culture as well in the Hebrew language. And then just to... It's like, simplify it and like taking like a multi-track stream and you kind of just go like it only means this, bam.
I agree, exactly. In other words, of course, practically speaking, Jared, you're right. I'm a big fan of art scroll and English translations, and they're very helpful and they were necessary, and all the rabbis said it's a good thing. Fine, okay, but we also have to understand that it's a tragedy, that it's a tragedy that Jews can walk around and not know how to read a siddur in Hebrew. That Jews can live their lives and not know how to read a chumash in the original Hebrew. Because when you're reading a translation, it's not just not the same thing. It's not comparable. It has nothing to do with the actual ability to read something in its original Hebrew, to be fluent and to understand all the amazing connotations and connections that the words mean, right? Hopefully at this point in the year you've seen and you've been educated, you realize that one word, what it's referencing another word in Tanakh and what referencing another thing. And right? if you're only able to read it in a translation, you're missing so much. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that that's a tragedy, that there could be a Jew who doesn't understand Hebrew. Chas v'sholom. And that's what the rabbis, of course, on a practical level, we can use other languages, but we have to take time to reflect that this is not cool. It's not cool that we don't know Hebrew. And so if we're thinking practically of what commitments to take upon ourselves in Asara B'Tevis, one thing I would say is to reinvest ourselves in learning Hebrew, right? And taking in our free time, taking a pen and a paper and a Morphix and a dictionary, and they have all these new apps, and really making a renewed commitment that for this year and for next year, we don't forget about learning things in the original Hebrew. Okay? And really investing ourselves in that. That's one more point of Musar. And, it, and maybe it's not a coincidence that it is also the day that we mourn the siege over Yerushalayim. I mean, we lost our culture. Okay, I can live. What's so bad? I can live Judaism in New York. I can live, you know, in other countries. You can, but only in Eretz Yisrael, only in Yerushalayim, can our culture flourish. Can we be truly true to ourselves? Can we develop our own independent values, not being mashpiyat upon by other values? And maybe it's not a coincidence that these two ideas of not knowing Hebrew and losing, you know, sovereignty over our land are linked. That's maybe one more thing to daven about on this fast day. Okay, well, I want to close with one final vort, one of my one of the coolest ones I saw. Okay, so the Ksav Sefer, son of the Chasm Sefer, has an amazing chiddush. Okay, here's the chiddush. You with me? 98. Okay, you know what? 98 days after Rosh Hashanah is a very, very special day. And he says, on this day, it's declared every single year whether the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt or not. Okay, this is the day when it's decreed, and it always comes 98 days after Rosh Hashanah. What date is that? What's 98 days after Rosh Hashanah? Today. Today is Asar B'Tevis is the day, 98 days, when it's a big day, when it will be decreed whether Yerushalayim will be rebuilt or whether it's still going to be in siege. So it's not exactly 98, it depends on the calendar. But why? What's the significance of 98? Why 98? So what else is 98 in the Torah?
1998?
It's a great year.
Birth year?
No. Yeah,
that's most true. Of us.
Keep it cool.
Not from 99 or 98 when he found out.
He is 99. Definitely not 98. So what else is, what's the other famous thing that's 98? The Chassad Sefer says that if you look in the Tochacha, in the rebuke, in Devarim, when God is rebuking the Jewish people and he talks about all the curses, there's 98 curses. Okay? So no, I'm not trying to get depressed on us. So what? So why did these curses come upon us? He says if you understand why the curses could come upon us, you're going to understand the tikkun of Asar B'Tevis. You're going to understand what we need to fix on this fast day specifically. So why did it happen? Why did the curses happen upon us? Anyone who's been to the Simcha seminar might remember this. We talked about this one of the first classes. What was the root sin which led to this downfall of the Jewish people? And to these curses? To all the terrible tragedies in Jewish people? That's a nice idea. Good idea, but not what the Torah says. Not mixed answer either, though. Good guess. What does the Torah say in Devarim? Chafhei. I forgot.
Go.
What was this, the key sin, boys, which led to the Tochacha, not the golden calf?
Sin of millions, man.
Good guess.
Is it an event or a...
No, it's an attitude. It's an attitude and it's a root sin.
What is it? The gear. Not being thankful?
Close. Tachat asher lo avad Elokim b'simcha uvetuv lev merov kol. Say it again. Because you did not serve Hashem b'simcha uvetuv lev, you didn't serve Hashem with joy merov kol. Because you had everything. Because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. In other words, a Jew ideally should be walking around happy. Super happy. Why? Why is he happy? Because I get to serve Hashem, because I get to do mitzvahs. That's what a Jew should be. A Jew should walk around and say, I get to daven mincha 2 hours? Awesome. I get to learn Torah? Amazing. I get to say a bracha? Fantastic. And I'm so happy. I'm thrilled. This is the point of life, and every mitzvah I'm doing, I'm filling my neshama up with purpose, and I'm making the world better, I'm filling the world up with life. That should be a Jew's life. We should be serving Hashem with joy, walking around happy because we shouldn't do mitzvahs. And if we don't do that, that's the root of all of the tragedies of Jewish history. You with me so far, guys? We got to serve Hashem with simcha. Why aren't we serving Hashem with simcha? So one idea is many ideas. But one idea which I heard, and it makes a lot of sense to me, is Mirov Kol. And it's very relevant, because we have everything. Right? Because when we have everything physical, and when we're filling ourselves up with gashmias and our desires, it's nice, but it doesn't leave room to have true joy for the spiritual things in life. Okay? We have to make a decision. We have a cup. We can either fill our cup of desires with physical desires, or we can fill it with spiritual desires. They don't both fit in the same cup. Right? That's the nature of our psychology. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have physical comforts, or we shouldn't live a good life of, you know, we shouldn't have clothing and food and warmth and air and everything. It's fine. You can have it. There's nothing wrong with having our basic needs met. It's good. I'm not preaching asceticism. But I am saying something that I feel very strongly, and maybe you guys also feel this, that when we overindulge, I know personally, when I overindulge and I eat and eat and I drink and I this and that, I don't have space left for caring about mitzvahs. I don't have space for caring about davening. I don't have space left for learning because I'm just so satisfied physically that it's like, whatever. You know?
It's a mindset kind of thing.
It's a mindset. So if we want to really do the tikkun of asara b'tevis, we got to start asking ourselves, where is my true desire? Is my desire to be b'simcha mituv lev, with mitzvahs, with connection to Hashem, with loving Torah, and I'm willing to push myself to the limit to really get that connection? Or am I going to keep on taking the easy road, the lazy road,
yeah,
you know, get my 9 hours of sleep, I got to make sure I get my sleep, I got to make sure I get all my food, that's the focus of my day, I got to make sure I'm super comfortable. And then there's just, how much space is there really going to be for our soul to shine and be happy? So b'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to ask us to take another 2 minutes and just maybe some of the ideas of awakening has breached another idea of something we want to take upon ourselves, of a commitment that we can do, something where we can really, really latch onto, something practical, not just another cutie wootsy idea. A way that we can make this idea of serving Hashem misimcha, mituv lev, and not Mirov Kol, not just yearning for the physical, but yearning for the spiritual. Hashem, we'll take another 2 minute break.